Go ahead and hand out the teaching notes, if you would. We've been in a series entitled Put God First. And today, after you get those in hand, I'll talk first and we'll pray. I feel very qualified to preach this message because I'm still acknowledging that although Jesus has started, I have a long ways to go in my life. Anybody else? I've not arrived, but I've left, you know, and I'm not going back. And God is still developing me for His purpose to be fulfilled. How about you? Anybody? And although I like comfort, you know, I like the comfort the Lord has laid on me, and I like the comfort that He gives, but He's also laid on a desire to conquer and a conquest for His destiny in my life. How about you? How many of you just go conquer? A comfort or conquest? Which one do I want to do? How many of you like comfort a lot? Americans are addicted to comfort. But for us to go on with what God's called us to, there's a stretching work that He calls us to expand His kingdom. So how many of you know that God will put you in a situation that you're not prepared for so you can experience His power? Anybody aware of this? I'm very aware of it now. Very aware of it. How many of you know that sometimes for you to understand how deep your supply is running in God, that God will put you in a place where there's a weight that you don't think you can bear. But then you turn to the Lord and you find out a deeper resource. I'm discovering that. So this message is about qualifying. Do you qualify? Holy smokes, I don't even want to preach it now. I'm just kidding. I'm excited. So, let's pray for a moment. Father God, I ask that in the name of Jesus, You would reveal the depth of Your love to each person here. That You would cause each person to have a revelation of the depth of Your love. We submit this into Your hands. And I pray, Holy Spirit, for Your help, that You would reveal our need. That each heart has a certain kinds of needs that we're probably unaware that You would meet at this moment. And I ask that You would reveal those needs and address those things. And by Your help, we ask that You would cause there to come the promise and the power. The promise that You have for us and the power to live and walk it out. That those things would be ours today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to jump into a verse. I want to read this passage with you and walk along with it. It's in the New King James this time. And this is Luke chapter 4, starting with verse 1. I'm going to go for a little while. I'm going to run down to verse 15, and then I'm going to make some comments and stuff, and then we're going to go and pick it up again a little later. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. Afterward, when he had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you and keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out to the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Jesus goes in to the wilderness, led by the Holy Spirit, goes into a time to be tempted of the devil, wins the temptation, comes out, empowered by the Spirit of God. Jesus comes in. What is he tempted with? He overcomes what? An empty gut, a shortcut, and I wrote another one down. Oh, and acting like a nut. He's hungry. There's something not satisfied in this. You know, look, he hadn't eaten for 40 days. How many of you have things in your life? Just there's this gnawing down dissatisfaction, right? And the hell wants to come and say, do something on your terms to get that done instead of coming to Jesus. And then there's this shortcut and people running around looking for shortcuts. Look. There, unless you win in the desert, you will not have the anointing to go into your destiny. There's a place right here, right now, that you got to deal with stuff to get over here. It doesn't work any other way. Let's go ahead and put the first fill in the blank here. You have to focus on what God is doing now to get to what God is doing next. Or you won't have the strength for what is next. And you can go back in the desert anytime you want. How many of you camp out there? But your destiny, look, there's many people that want what they want what they see others possessing, but are unwilling to go through the process to become the person that can possess that. Are you there? And there's so many that are stuck out there in their hunger and their emptiness. They're running around acting nuts, trying to get a shortcut. Listen, the world wants a quick fix, but Jesus is into permanent change. He's saying, I want to do it for you the long haul. I want to transform you on the inside. I want you to have what I want you to have and do it His way. Because you have to confront the devil in your private pain, or you won't have any ability to comfort others at all. Are you there? You have to apply the Word of God where you hurt. And then you have this ability in your pain you could cause others to gain from what God has given you. If you're not doing that, if you're stuck, you don't have that to give. Is that right? How many of you want to grow up? Put God first. How many want to grow up? Now, the Word of God, here's what Jesus didn't do. Jesus didn't get out there in the desert and here comes temptation number one. And he said, you know, my mama didn't raise me right. I can't do this testing in the desert because my earthly dad wasn't there for me. Did Jesus do that? No, he didn't blame anybody. He didn't blame his mama. He didn't blame his daddy. He didn't blame anybody when he was in the desert. What did he do? He had the Word of God in him. Are you there? How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to his word. What are you full of? I know people full of worry. They could fill up with the word. Are you there? You can fill up with the word of God instead of filling up with worry in your life. What are you feeding your life on? Gossip? With other people? The opinions of people? What is filling up your life? Because these are definitely not the days to be having a diet of the world. Especially when God has a plan. God wants to expand something through us into the community. Right? Cause there to be a touch. And what I've discovered is this. The first thing I discovered is I don't pray enough. And you know, it always just made... I used to think the prayer was some kind of a laborious thing, some kind of a pious thing that people do. And they just get down there. And come to find out, it's a remarkable, wonderful experience I'm having. I had no idea. Before, it started out a tad stressful because I'm in over my head. It's kind of like a prayer has been like this for me. Here, learn how to swim. Whoa. And so I'm rebuking everything that I can rebuke. And I'm claiming every promise I can. And now I'm starting to, okay, wait a minute. I'm getting the stride of this. Hey, this is nice in here. Hey, this is good in here. I'm sort of doing some backstrokes, some little doggy paddles. I'm enjoying the presence of God. How many of you have always had this some weird stigma about prayer in your head? It's literally having moments where the little whisper of the Holy Spirit in your heart, and next thing you know, the presence of God manifests so beautifully, just kind of like breaks open some kind of a anointed bottle over your head, and next thing you know, you're just saturated in this presence that... It's like, wow, where have I been all this time? I need this incredible experience with God. So now, guess what's happened? I've become addicted to God. And you know what? There's no bad side effects. You can become addicted to the love of God in your soul. I think we're made to literally be loved and be wired for love. And when we receive that from Him, it's like, it takes time to get there, doesn't it? How many want to go ahead and affirm somebody? So you go ahead and tell somebody, you're going to get there, baby. Come on, you're going to get there. You're going to get there, baby. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. I know that there are people that don't make it in their destiny in Christ because something else other than Jesus comes first. Have you ever had that happen? Something else other than the Lord put in your... How many of you have been tricked and hoodwinked by that one? You get off some path and you're not putting the Lord in your life. It's number one. I mentioned this already. Some complain that they don't have what others have because they're not taking the time to develop, become the person. It works like this. What you're becoming, it deals with the becoming first. Here's the possessing over here, and in the middle is the doing. Here's the becoming so that you can do the doing, and then the possessing. I want to tell you this. If you somehow get over here to the possessing before you develop the character of becoming, you'll lose it all. You don't become the person who can carry the stuff. You have to become the person that can carry the stuff. How many of this is working for you? So the Lord says, I have a plan for you, and I'm going to do some things in you. And while you're right here, right now, right now, this is the now that I want to deal with. And because the next thing, and how many of you know that the Lord allows you to have off-ramps, and you can get off any time? How many of you have taken the off-ramp on occasion? How many of you realize it's time to get back on the process to become what He wants? Are you there? Okay, don't, as they say, shout me down while I'm preaching good. Let's go ahead and I'm going to read the next passage of Scripture because we're going to move into communion pretty soon here. This begins in verse 16, right after verse 15. It says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. News of Him went through all the surrounding region, and He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Then it says this, and He came to Nazareth. I remember being on the bus in Israel, bus 4. Some of you were with us. And we went quite a while. You remember that going up from the Sea of Galilee area and going over that mountain and coming down and coming into the Nazareth area and seeing where Jesus grew up and probably the hill right here where they later on in this passage tried to throw Him off. And they said, that's probably the place over here and all that. And so you have the dynamic here. He's in Israel. I mean, within Israel, he's in Nazareth. And then later he says he goes over to Capernaum, and we did the same thing. We drove over to Capernaum where they identified the place where Peter's house probably was, where the mother was sick with a fever and Jesus cast out the fever. So you know, I have these visuals in my head about where this is going. Well, Jesus goes down to the synagogue in Nazareth, and it says this. It says, and He came to Nazareth where He was brought up, and as his custom was, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written. And this is it. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now get this, Jesus is in the synagogue. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's just reading. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And they all think He's reading. And He's reading. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I want to go ahead and put down point number 2. In order to receive the ministry of Jesus, you qualify. If you're broke, come on somebody. Broken, bound, or blind. To receive the ministry of Jesus. You see, this is completely opposite of what most people think about church. This is turns it on. You come in and you think you got to have it all together because the other people, you know, they probably don't have it together better than you. So it's a competition of hypocrisy. Let me just look around here. Ain't nobody got it better. than anybody else. We're all needy sinners. And we have this thing in America, this emphasis on wealth. Did you know wealth and worry come together? Did you know a guy can have a lot of dollars and also have a lot of divorce? There's an area where you're poor. Listen there, listen, everybody. There's an area, you can be, I'll put it in the notes. You can have a big bank account and be bankrupt in your life. You can be under it. You can be rich at work and wretched at home. You can have your investors all loving you and your family all hating you. That's poverty. That's poverty. When you're broken inside and you're poor in spirit, everybody's poor. Would you admit that? Everybody's poor somewhere. So what do you do about that? Being successful and still being empty on the inside. What do you do with that? What makes a man poor and what makes a man rich? When Jesus is anointed to come and preach the gospel to the poor, we think instantly people without money. But Matthew qualified it in the Sermon on the Mount saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So the kingdom of God is opened up to those who acknowledge their areas of poverty in their life. A person can make a lot of money and be very unforgiving and be poor in their heart. Are you rich in the areas that God says are rich? In fact, there's a contrast in Luke where Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom." And a few verses down, it says, "Blessed are you when you the rich. Woe to those who are rich because they have their consolation now." In other words, this is all you get. Wow. And he comes to deal if you qualify if you're brokenhearted. Now, I want to mention this to you over in the book of, over in Isaiah 61. In the Hebrew language, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted." And it goes to the captives, and it drops off the part about the blind. Some versions in the New Testament drop off the healing of the brokenhearted and put recovery of sight to the blind. Now, the version I have today incorporates both of those verses in there. But the technical reason is because the Hebrew language in the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. But now there's this group of scholars, and they come and they translate it from Hebrew into Greek. And there's called the Septuagint. In the Septuagint, somehow they've made a determination to say recovery of sight to the blind. They add that in there. I think there's a spiritual reason. Because I know this. When you're brokenhearted, you don't see right. I think you could leave one out and put the other one in. You know people who are blind? I'll tell you this. A woman who's been molested can't really see the goodness in another man because all men now are bad. There's a blindness that comes when the heart is broken. A person that's been betrayed, damaged by their own father, has a real tough time receiving love from Father God. They're blind to how good God is. Isn't that right? And what does God do? To heal the blindness, He goes to the heart. There are things and judgments and statements that you have said about life because your heart is still not healed yet. And if your heart's not healed and you don't see right, Jesus has come. I just want you to know today that if you're broken, you qualify. If you're blind and you can't see right and stuff isn't working, you qualify. If you're poor, you qualify. You don't have to come with it together. You come with it not together. Hallelujah. There is no place that Jesus' ministry can't reach to. To boldly go in where God wants us to go is the key to these days. To be a part of what He's doing and treat people the way Jesus treated them is so important to the Lord's heart today. Do you want to be a part of what He's doing? Go ahead and elbow somebody and says, I'm in, I'm all in. I'm in, I'm all in. I'm just going to take a lot of time on this, but because we do need to move on toward our third point and get our communion out. But how many of you understand what it's like to be bound? You know what that's about? That no matter how hard you try on your own effort, you can't get free. You can't pull it off on your own effort. You try and you try and you try and you try. And after a while, you realize, I can't discipline myself enough to pull this off. Why is that? Because discipline is so important. But if there's a hook in your life, if there's a chain wrapped around you, an invisible chain, if there's something that has a hold of you, you can't discipline it. You have to be free from it. And that's where Jesus said, if, and look at this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And we run right by that verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Do you know what that is? That's one of the names of God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And you know what it means? It means that there's a spirit of lordship that overlords every other spirit. Every other spirit has to bow to the Spirit of the Lord. And so you say, Lord God, I'm so tired of this. And in your anguish, you cry out to the Lord and say, I don't want this in my life. I am so sorry for opening the doors and doing this. God, free me, deliver me from this in the name of Jesus. And he goes, okay. And he breaks it and says, that hook that's... I said, I don't know what it was. One day I was just standing there and I lifted up my head to church and a weight left me. And I wasn't depressed anymore. You were bound, but now you're free. I don't know when it was, but he said something in the message and it sounded like it fit me. And something went in like a ray of light. And something of darkness that's been hassling me over and over, it's gone. And he comes and he changes us. And when you acknowledge, I have need, and quit putting on airs like you don't. Are you there? It is so easy to be the person who doesn't need any help. Because it's like a safeguard. I don't want to be vulnerable because I'll be embarrassed to what people will think if I don't have it together. And we come with that. And we make judgments about other people on the basis of, well, look, they look all together. Okay, listen. After I was beaten by my dad, I chewed my fingers every day until they bled, and I peed in the bed as a boy. That was me. Blood. Chewed my fingers till they bled. It's a miracle I'm standing in here. It's a miracle. It's a total miracle of Jesus. To get saved and to get the love of God into you and it change you. Wow. Everybody's got a story. Everybody has a place where there was this tremendous embarrassment. Some kind of a need went unmet and life got hard. Somebody wasn't there. A component one day. Maybe just the pattern of life. This is why you qualify. You qualify for the ministry of Jesus. You qualify. I'm broke. I'm broken. I'm blind. I'm bound. You're it. You qualify. The religiously pious don't qualify. I have no problems. I come in, I wave my little hanky at God and go home. I'm okay. Not. Have you run into those folks? The moment you open up your heart and share a vulnerability, they go, I'm out of here. Why? Because they've never opened their heart and shared a vulnerability and come alive in Christ and been healed. When Jesus has touched you, you don't care. I don't care. I'm better.
You have no idea. I was bad, bad. And it was all a secret. And I had three or four different lives I was living. And I had to remember them all. It was wearing me out. I had to have this story with this guy and this story with this person and this story with this person. And I started forgetting what I said. And Jesus, one day I was praying and I said, Lord, when will I be better? And He said, when you're congruent. I said, what does that mean? I looked it up. When you are operating out of one person, you're living too many lives. I'm going to make you whole in the middle. And you can just be one person. Do you know how much peace you have just being one person? It's extraordinary after living a bunch of them. Because of fear. The fear of rejection. Because of, I'm afraid. If you find out who I really am, you won't like me. So I've got to cover this up. How many of you need somebody to come along in life and wrap their arm around you and walk the distance with you? And no matter how many times you implode, that means to explode internally and just melt down. How many of you have done that lately? You know what the Lord's doing? He's saying you're in the desert and you're winning here to get over here. And you qualify because you're acknowledging that you don't have it together. Now let's look at the last one. Let's go ahead. Those preparing for communion, come on up. Number three, even when your sins have wrecked your life, Jesus will restore you if you look to Him. Even when your sins have wrecked your life, Jesus will restore you if you look to Him. I have some good news for you here. I have some really good news. In Numbers, I wrote it down in the center page of the bulletin. You can look at it some more later. But Numbers 21, starting with verse 4. Actually, that's at the beginning of this particular part. This is some good news. I'll tell you what, stand here until I'm done with this part, and we'll send you out. Okay, guys. Just like Jesus, He passed the test in the wilderness and He went on into His destiny. The children of Israel were in the desert and they came to the promised land. They were going to fulfill their destiny and they didn't want it. And because of their sin and their fear that dominated their mind and their thinking, they ran back into the wilderness. And they're wandering around the wilderness. Their sin, hello, sent them into the wilderness. God wanted them to go into the promised land immediately, but their sin sent them back into the wilderness. And there are many believers today, the situation is the same. And it's the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest thing because your own sin has sent you there and now you're complaining. Because they complained. And they complained against God. And they complained against Moses and said, there's not enough water and the food stinks. And so God says, well, you can have some fiery serpents then. And these fiery serpents started coming out. And whoever they bit, that person died. And there are people today who are in the wilderness who their sin has sent them there. And they're complaining against God and dying off. And the people came back and said, we're sorry. We repent. We did wrong. Will you forgive us? We cursed God. We cursed you, Moses. Moses says, what do you want to do, Lord? And the Lord said, well, make a snake and put it on a pole. So they got some bronze and they made this. That's where the doctors get that whole the snake on the pole. And they put it on there and said, whoever looks to the serpent, when they're bit by the snake, they'll be healed. Anybody who was bit by the snake, they look to the serpent on the pole and they're healed. And Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And you go, wait a minute, how in the world is Jesus like a snake? How many of you have had a slithery nature? How many of you have bit people with your words? How many have done things
underhandedly and mischievously and been cunning and do stuff against people like a snake. And Jesus became our sins. For he who knew no sin became our sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And he says, when we look to Jesus on the cross, he just see all of our sin and everything that would be death to us. Sin kills. Everything of our sin that would kill us, we look to Jesus and we live. There's a sweet anointing in the room. That means the presence of God is making something alive to somebody's heart, causing your eyes to open. Because you've been carrying things and you've tried. How many of you feel that you've had to figure it out your way so long? And the Lord says, I have a way where you don't have to be the manipulator anymore. I have a way where you can come, but you don't know. Hey, look, you start out little. It's called baby steps. You start out, and the Lord says, let's learn how to walk this way. And you walk. Hey, how many of you do it like this? The Lord says, let's walk this way, and you go, no, this way. No, this way. How many of you even need a friend that actually knows how to walk? Let's go ahead and walk this way. We're going to walk this way. The reality of what Jesus has done in me, I haven't caught up to it yet in my mentality. I need to become like what's in here. I need my mind to change and become who God says I am. I need my identity shaped by what He says I am on the inside. I need my mind to know that I can walk this way. And that's why we're the body of Christ. So we wrap our arm around, we're going to go this way. I'll walk with you, Gary. I know some of Gary's stuff. Gary knows some of my stuff. You know what we did with it? We threw it in the trash can. And you know what we've never done? Never gone to the trash and picked through it. Love you, buddy. Let's go ahead and hand out. If you were, here's what I want to say about this. This is a really good thing to do. Look, this is an act of faith today. This is an act of faith. If you want to say to the Lord, I'm trusting you to live your life through me. This is for you. Now, we don't have a big control thing about this. There's people that says, unless you're a member of our church, you can't be at the table. And yeah, we don't believe that. This is what we believe. This is not my table, first of all. It's the Lord's table. But here's the deal. The resource of this table, the dynamic power behind this, is really empowered by the Holy Spirit when you lock onto it by faith. And the beginning point of all power is saying, I want to walk with Jesus. I want to walk with Him. How many of you know that? So it really doesn't matter. If you're saying, well, I don't want to walk with Jesus in any way, it doesn't matter. In fact, it's not really good for you. It's just kind of being a fake. And you don't want to be a fake. So if you're not going to actually respond to Jesus is working, you probably better stick in your pocket. It'd be better than just to be a hypocrite, right? That's what they blame the church for, all them hypocrites, right? So if you're going to say, I'm trusting God by faith, then this is what this is about. By the way, I just love this moment in the Bible when Peter, and you know, there's Judas, and Jesus picks up he stops and he gives the to Judas. Judas gets up and goes out. He's already betrayed the Lord in his heart for 30 pieces of silver. You know, but everybody's wondering, well, who done it? Who is it? Who's the bad guy? And amidst all that, John just leans over. He's younger. He's the youngest one. And John just leans into Jesus' arms. And he's close. He just leans back. John is the picture. He wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the book of Revelation. Just, he called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. He just sat back and leaned into Jesus' arms. When everybody was wondering, who's the bad guy? Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? And John just leaned back. It's probably me, but I'm just going to receive the love right now. Everybody say, it's probably me, but I'm going to receive the love right now. I'm going to take what Jesus gives me to make me whole. Have you had thoughts that have been against you? Today's the day to bring the construct of that down. Have you had thoughts that have really led you away? You say, Jesus, would you take this little piece of cracker and use it like a battering ram and bust up that stuff in my head? Would you cause there to come a release and freedom? Because I'm here to tell you today, you qualify for the ministry of Jesus. You qualify. If you're bound, you qualify. You qualify today. And I don't have to whip us up and get more music and get like a heightened sense. Just understand, by faith in Jesus, He accomplishes things. And in the quiet of your heart, suddenly, you're free. Suddenly, there's a change. And Jesus invites you to His table. Even if you don't know Him, I want you to know something. What are those things called on the table when you got your name on them? Place card. If you don't know the Lord, He's already made up your place card. He's been anticipating your arrival. He has a place card with your name on it. Just when you show up, He's looking and longing for you. Just come to the table. Come to my table, my broken person. Come to the table if you're bound. Come if you don't see. Come if you're brokenhearted. Come to the table. I've prepared it for you. Somebody, let's praise the Lord just for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Don't allow today, don't allow the argument of your past brokenness to determine your future. Don't allow that. Don't allow this moment to say, well, it's always been this way. So what? Jesus is bigger than so it's always been this way. Jesus is bigger than so it's always been this way. Jesus is more powerful than so. Let me tell you, if you got shame, Jesus is greater than your shame. He broke the power of shame. He broke the power of bondage. He broke the power of sin's rule. Jesus is much greater. He's greater. When He rose from the grave, He broke the power of death itself. And that's why we come and celebrate the reality of who Jesus is in our life. Let's lift it up and praise Him right now. Thank you, Lord, for Your... This is my body, You said, broken for You. Take it in remembrance of me. And as we remember You today, Lord, we thank You for all Your provisions for us. Everything. Sins forgiven. Power of God to rise up. Hallelujah. Every broken thing healed. In the name of Jesus, wholeness for brokenness. Freedom for bondage. Sight for blindness. Prospering for our poverty areas. We give You praise, Lord. Let's go ahead and partake together. Hallelujah. Running over. Let's go ahead and... Well, I never intend to be long-winded. It's not like I intend to run over. I just get a tad passionate. Anybody receiving anything today? That's a silly question, but... I want to give you the... Yeah, hold it until everybody's served, if you would mind. I want to give you the recipe for a stress-free life. Are you ready? It's all wrapped up right here. Stress-free life. This cup... How many of you know the bitterness will kill you? 97% of all disease comes from going on in your mind. 97% of all disease happens with what's going on in your head. You ready for the recipe? It's in the cup. Forgiveness. You want to get rid of a lot of stress in your life? Be the best forgiver on the block. You know what this is? Liquid love. You want to be stress-free? Love the way this stuff loves. What did Jesus do? He poured out sacrificially and gave us a capacity to love way beyond our abilities. I know because it's doing it in me. I'm loving people I had never, ever, ever imagined I'd have any capacity to do it. Why? Because Jesus is doing it in me. And this is the main reason, the blood of Jesus. The main reason. When your shame is washed away, you can embrace people who struggle with shame. When your sins are washed away, you can help people who struggle with the same things you did. And after a while, you just get to, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, even if I've dealt with it or not. Jesus will just heal everything. Because that's who He is. Someone asked today, if you have somebody you need to forgive, let's go ahead and forgive them. Press down, shaking together. What is it? Given it, shall be given. It. So most people think it's money. You know what I think? I think it's whatever it is. Give it. Give forgiveness, and you'll end up with people around you who are very forgiving. Sow it. You'll reap it. Give forgiveness. Receive forgiveness. How many of you need to receive forgiveness? How many of you, you're the worst judge of your life? Get off of the throne, you idiot. Forgive me. But you being on the throne, judging that your judgment about your life is more important than God, makes you a fool. And you'll never get better with your mind so exalted in pride that you think that God's word won't work for you. You're an idiot. Because God's word is eternal, and this life will pass away, but His word will never pass away. And when He says you're loved, you're loved. I don't know if I have to shout, but it seems like sometimes our little minds can get so stuck in a rut, and your little almighty opinion about yourself ruins your life. And God says, why do you believe such lies? When I have forgiven you to the uttermost, and there's nothing you've done that I don't wipe away by the power of the blood of Jesus. Rise up. Become what God says you're to become. It's buried in everybody. Everybody knows the better them. And this is the pathway to it. Let's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord with me. Let's thank the Lord in advance. Thank you, Lord. Let's say it right now. I receive forgiveness for every foul thing I've ever done. Every deceptive thing I've ever done. I ask you, Lord, to change me inside. To break these crutches of lies. And free me in Jesus' name. I receive the forgiveness of Jesus. Let's praise Him right now. Praise the Lord. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. And then I give it now. I forgive. I forgive. Praise the Lord. Let's partake together. Let's partake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to set the cups aside just for a moment. And I want us to lift up an applause to the Lord. For Jesus is risen to give us new life in Him. Let's go ahead. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise. There's nobody like you. Praise the Lord. We are forgiven and free in Christ Jesus. We can do all things through Him who loves us. Praise you, Jesus. Let's receive. Receive His love. Receive His love. Receive the Lord's love in your life. Receive the Lord's washing, cleansing power in your soul. Receive the washing of the blood of Jesus inside of you. Receive a fresh report card from God. It says, you got all A's. You got all A's. Jesus is giving you all that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, if you receive the Lord today, just come on up and tell somebody. Say, you know, I've made a commitment in my heart to the Lord. And on the front here, we'll agree with you in prayer. Love on each other.